This is Allen Robinson, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the Epic Roster Watch Podcast, brought to you by RosterWatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap, here, of course, with the Trash Man. Just 1 week out from leaving for beautiful Kansas City, Missouri? Yeah. There is a Kansas City in Kansas, Trash Man.
Well, yeah, it's basically, the area like spreads between the two states, but...
Yeah. So if you say...
I think Missouri's the side that you probably...
I'm flying into and staying in Missouri for the NFL draft, and make sure to stick around here on the channel for that and over at rosterwatch.com. But clearly Trashman and I have been breaking down these prospects throughout the whole course of the draft season. We've been to all the events, the Senior Bowl, the Combine, the various pro days. We'll be heading to the draft, and then after that we'll be just getting on the way and getting ready for the rookie mini camps, the OTAs, and then of course the culmination of it all with the RosterWatch.com training camp tour, whenever we come out with the various cheat sheet products that are going to help you with your redraft leagues. Right now, pretty focused on Dynasty, pretty focused on the NFL draft, some of these props that are beginning to come online, especially over on DraftKings. So Trashman and I thought it would be fun to look over there at DraftKings and see if there are any NFL draft props we might be interested in dabbling in. We'll also break down the Syracuse running back, Sean Tucker, as we sort of round out the guys we'll be doing our full evaluations on. Just a note to our pro members, we do have rankings in from Byron on his top 30 wide receivers. Trashman and I have each done, 25 to 30 at the wide receiver and the running back position. We're going to have those consensus rankings up next week, Monday here on this podcast. It'll be a busy week on the podcast feed next week. But Monday we'll have Byron on. It'll be me, Byron, Trashman, for the meeting of the minds, our release of our official cumulative staff rankings. Before we even get into the draft props, Trashman, just a couple quick things. Are you going to get Quentin Johnston down to number two behind Jackson Smith and Jigba?
I mean, he's going to be
screwing up
two.
Our rankings at the top. It makes Quentin Johnston our number two.
Well, who should be our number two?
Well, I just look at it. If you move Jackson Smith and Jigba to number one, like you should, then we would have Zay Flowers as our number two.
I mean, I'm not sold at Zay Flowers at number two.
Okay. Well, like I said, I would
almost rather have Addison at number two than Zay Flowers.
But wouldn't you rather have Jackson Smith and Jigba at number one?
Jackson Smith and Jigba is at number one.
No, he's not. Not in your rankings.
In our rankings, he is.
Yes, but why do you have him at number two in your rankings if you know he's number one in your heart? I don't get it. You're just trying to be a dick?
No.
You should rank the guys as you have them ranked and then see how things fall. You can't reverse engineer. You can't play God to put Quentin Johnston at number one just so he'll be number two in our rankings. Doesn't make any sense just because he's your number two. Let's get that fixed.
Okay, let's talk about these draft picks.
I can't. You're just gonna sail this down the river and just leave it the whole time.
Where does Brian Byron have Quentin?
Byron has Quentin Johnston at number three.
Okay.
If you were to move him, let me just tell you, if you were to move him, that would basically make it a tie between Zay Flowers and Quentin Johnston at number two.
Okay.
Are you fine with that?
Yeah.
I just made the switch for you then. We're in unanimous agreement that JSN is wide receiver one. And I can be fine being tied for number two. Okay. All right. Let's get into these draft props. I think an interesting one to start out with would be just I saw the market on this actually changed early this morning. Man, before we talk about Sean Tucker, I got to ask you about Allen Robinson and all the rest of it. But we'll do the props right now. I want to talk about Allen Robinson, George Pickens, what this means for the Steelers. But as far as the draft props, one of the ones that I saw over there on DraftKings is the and shout out to DraftKings for getting so many of these markets up, man. There are a whole lot of them. One that I noticed yesterday that I really liked and I don't like quite as much this morning is the total receivers drafted in the first round. Did you look at that prop, Trash Man, at all?
No.
Okay, so
I was just looking at mainly individual player props, but
okay, so total wide receivers drafted in the first round. Last night, it was a big favorite to say over 3.5. I believe it was at plus 190 to have it at under 3.5, which I thought was just an insane value. Now it's at minus 115 for both of these. So it's basically, you know, they have it as a toss up to whether it's going to be 3 or 4 wide receivers in the first round. Shout out to our boy Minion Hunter. Hope you're doing well, brother, for sure. We are, whenever we think about this, Trash Man. So if we just think about this from the context of this class, right? And we look at the draft order and we look at the teams who have, like, whenever I went through the draft order, I looked at the teams who aren't already locked in to likely taking quarterbacks or who aren't already locked in to spots in the NFL draft that are going to be much more conducive to taking high impact defensive players, edge rushers, defensive tackles, these kinds of guys, right? Corners. And that to me starts at about number 11. Okay. So you can see these are the teams that I feel like have primary needs at wide receiver and might take one. It would be reasonable to think that they could take one. I wrote down Tennessee at 11, right? Houston with their second pick at 12, but not their first pick. They're not going to take a wide receiver there with the first pick. New England at 14 seemed to make sense to me. That's a primary need. So there's three. Green Bay at 15, but we know that Green Bay and that organization, they just do not take wide receivers in the first round. Yeah. They don't do it, period. Arizona, if they trade back, you know, Arizona's picking at 3, but there's been a lot of talk about trading back. Who knows what's going to happen with DeAndre Hopkins? You know, there could be something there. God, but that team has so much else that they need to do. I'm not sure they would go wide receiver. So I think
they might.
Okay, well, I put the Arizona sort of trade back scenario in there. I kind of put it in the same bucket as I put the Green Bay. I don't think Green Bay will take one. I don't think Arizona will take one. I mean, we know that Washington won't. We know Pittsburgh. You know, we just talked about it. Pittsburgh just traded for Allen Robinson. They're giving him $10 million. You know, they just took George Pickens recently. They have good wide receivers. They're not taking him. I can't see Detroit doing it after spending first-round draft capital last year on Jamison Williams whenever there's so much that they need to do. Tampa Bay still has good receivers. Seattle, I don't think, would do it, not in the first round. Chargers.
Seattle might. I don't think they're solid necessarily on a third receiver there in Seattle. I think maybe they could.
It doesn't feel like a primary need. Baltimore doesn't feel like a primary need anymore after Odell Beckham, right? I think the first team, I mean, maybe Minnesota at 23 with Thielen gone.
That would make sense.
So Minnesota 23. So that's basically 4 that I think are reasonable, right? New York Giants at 25 could go there. And I mean, you look down the rest of it, Dallas, no. Buffalo, no. Cincy, no. New Orleans, no. Philly, no. Kansas City, maybe.
Maybe.
So I think Kansas City's a maybe. So basically, there are like 6 teams that I think are legit sort of maybes for this thing. So now let's put that in the context of this year's wide receiver draft class, right? We've talked about it before, Trash Man. A lot of these guys are kind of puny. A lot of these guys have issues. A lot of them are small. Some of them who are bigger might have Quentin Johnston has issues on tape. He didn't have a good pro day. He had a lot of the stuff about him that DK Metcalf had about him coming out with the lateral agility and the bad three cone and all the rest of it. He doesn't have the DK Metcalf beastly size and speed combo to help him out of that situation, though. Yeah. And I just wonder. Well,
I was also going to say real quick about the Chiefs. Zay Flowers is visiting them right now.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, and look, look, there's a lot to like about Zay Flowers, but after Jackson Smith and Jigba in this class, it's like, if we just look at the lat, like if we just look at what happens in the NFL draft, right? What happens, you know, usually, there have been drafts where only in recent history that as I looked through them, where it's like some of these draft. So like last year, right, we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. In a good year, right, we had 6 wide receivers go in the first round. Drake London, Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Jameson Williams, Jahan Dotson, Treylon Burks. Okay, 2021, that was the Jamar Chase, Jalen Waddle, you know, Devontae Smith year. We had Jamar Chase go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the first round. I'd say that's a better class than this class is.
Yeah.
2020, we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 go. That was the CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, Jerry Jeudy, Jalen Reagor, Brandon Ayuk, and Henry Ruggs draft. I think that was a better draft than this one.
Yeah.
2019, which people thought was a terrible draft, they kind of talked about that draft the way that they talk about this one. It ended up not being that bad because of Deebo Samuel, because of A.J. Brown. But there was also, and because of DK Metcalf, of course, Deontay Johnson was in that draft too, Terry McLaurin, but all those guys were all second round picks. The only two first round, there was just 2 first round picks in that draft, Marquise Brown and N'Keal Harry. 2018, we had 2, DJ Moore and Calvin Ridley, both at the end of the first round. I mean, 2017, we had 3, Corey Davis, Mike Williams, and John Ross. 2016, we had 1, 2, 3, 4. Some of these drafts were better years, right? Some of these drafts were better years as far as the wide receivers, right?
Why not just take the average?
Well, because this draft is being universally panned by scouts, by media, by everybody alike is a down wide receiver year. And so if after Jackson Smith and Jigba goes off the board, I mean, is New England just going to be jumping up and down to go get a 173-pound Jordan Addison? Is Minnesota just going to say, you know what? We just need to go get Josh Downs.
I feel Minnesota. Like,
I mean, I'm just,
I feel Minnesota is probably odds on favorite after them to take a wide receiver.
After who? Do you think Houston takes one at 12?
I think they do.
Okay, so if Houston takes JSN at 12, that should be a pick that you make, because I think JSN, I think you could pick JSN at 12 for like over under 12.5, and the under 12.5 is actually the underdog. So okay. that would be an interesting one. Green Bay's not going to take a wide receiver.
Maybe they should.
Still, if they get to it, the Giants, I mean, I can see him taking Zay Flowers, all the rest of it, but then like, are there really 4 teams that are just so in love with each one of these guys? Let's just say that it's JSN, Jordan Addison, Zay Flowers, Quentin Johnston. Are there really 4 teams that are that much in love with those 4 players to say we're going to spend our first round capital on these guys do you know what I mean? I think the teams are going to say, man, some of these guys are going to slide to the second round, and I like them about the same.
Is the line 4 or is it 3?
Well, it's 3.5. They don't give you an even numbers, trash, man. There's no pushing here. 3 wins, 4 loses if you take the under. And I think for this one, I'm just taking the under. It just, that's to me what makes sense.
I mean, that's probably the
king of the North. The king of the North. He's asking our favorite rookie running back besides Bijan. So for me, it's Jahmyr Gibbs. For Trash Man, it's Zach Charbonnet. But I certainly do love Zach Charbonnet myself.
And I love Jahmyr Gibbs.
I think all 3 of those guys are awesome. Cody Carpenter, dogs. Love you, Cody. Remember to hit the like button right now. Right now. Right now. Hit the like button.
Smash it.
Do it.
Smash
it. Do it now.
It's smashing the like button.
All right.
Break your computer.
A couple other props that I like to trash, man. One, just kind of, it's kind of an easy one for me with Anthony Richardson. With the draft position, Anthony Richardson, now it's at minus 330 to say that he's going to go over 4.5. I don't think that Anthony Richardson is going to go in the top four picks.
Yeah.
I love him. I think he's exciting as hell. I think that he's, he is a guy who will be able to break fantasy football, right? If things fall right, but just the buzz we're hearing, the way the markets are shifting, the way people are talking, it doesn't feel like he's going to go on the top. It doesn't feel like we're going to get a 1, 2, 3, 4 run out of quarterbacks. That's what would need to happen. I refuse to believe that Anthony Richardson goes before Will Levis. I think it'll go. I think the order of these players will be Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, Will Levis, Anthony Richardson. I think Richardson will probably fall, though. I don't think he's going to go, four straight bullets right off the board. And so if that's the way I'm thinking, I can look over here on DraftKings at the draft matchup section. And I like Will Levis at -275 to be drafted earlier than Anthony
Richardson. Do you think there's no way that Hooker gets in that mix?
With those four?
Yeah.
No, not coming off an injury. Not when he's not going to be able to he's not going to be able to play until next season, and he's already 25. So, nah, man, I don't think so. So we have when does the redraft cheat sheet come out? FFPC draft start early May. Yeah, so we'll have the best ball cheat sheets will be up. As far as the redraft cheat sheet, they go as soon as we can start running sims, which is usually right then at about the beginning of May when we have enough. It just takes time to get the redraft data in to where we can run sims that actually work. So we're having to use underdog data right now that gets pulled in that helps us with the best ball sheets. As soon as these drafts get up and kicking and we get a good enough volume of redraft ADP, that's when the redraft sheets will come. So I know that those start in early May. It might not be exactly early May when the FFPC stuff kicks off, Mark Hartsfield, but it'll be as early in May as we possibly can, as soon as we can aggregate enough of that data to make sure that we're leveraged against those early ADPs. Minion Hunter says, do you think AR-15 will go in the first round? If so, which team is your guess? Oh, sure, I think he'll go in the first round. As to what team, I have no idea. I think with him, it could be somebody who really surprises us. I don't know. I don't
Do
like.
Do you think he could go to Atlanta
at 8? No. Maybe could he go to? I mean, what if he went to New England? Belichick's always been obsessed with those running quarterbacks.
Well, and he hates Mac Jones.
This kind of Navy offenses and stuff. Wouldn't go to Washington, wouldn't go to Pittsburgh. But I mean, maybe could he go to Detroit? Let him sit for a year or two behind that would be golly. What if they could just go nuclear with an AR-15? That'd be something else. Hard to guess though, man. Picking this draft's tough. Speaking of which, trash, man, I'm starting to get excited about my Huddle Report mock draft. I saw that I'm now in 25th place over the last 5 years out of like 160 people. Okay, so with this next one. After Richardson, it's just this whole Jalen Carter thing for me. And Cody's in chat. I've been talking to Cody about this, and I keep asking, why is nobody talking about the fact that Houston could just take Jalen Carter at number two? Does nobody just think that the best play that D'Amico Ryans, who loves having players like that on his San Francisco defensive line, and who it's seeming now like if they can't get Bryce Young, they might not go quarterback? Why not take the best player in the draft at a position, the most valuable position there is, at one that could be the linchpin of the exact defense that he wants to run? All because there's the stuff with the racing incident and the character concerns and stuff. And I get that people worry that he's been out of shape and all the rest of that stuff. And there's going to be, you know, a need to kind of monitor him and, you know, make sure everything's okay. But it's like, come on, dude. It's like, have you watched the film with Jalen Carter? I don't get it. And so for me, the draft position for Jalen Carter, this is what doesn't make sense to me, Trash Man. So the draft position for Jalen Carter is over 6.5 is -130, under 6.5 is -110. So it's the favorite for him to go after 6.5, right?
Yeah.
Now look at this. In the top 10, do you know who the favorite is to go in the top 10? The nuts favorite?
No.
Jalen Carter at -5,000. His nearest comparison is Tyree Wilson at -1,000. So what you're telling me is he's a favorite to go and pick 7, 8, 9, or 10.
But not before.
But not before then? That doesn't make any sense to me. The only thing I can wrap my head around is as to why that would make sense is that his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, has said, we're not taking visits, top 30 visits, to any team picking outside the top 10. To me, I think that that means he knows that if he falls to Philly, Howie Roseman's going to take him at 10.
Yeah.
Now, it would make sense because you know what all the scuttlebutt is that they have two Georgia defenders on from last year. Who's the fat Jordan Davis, the fast defensive tackle from last year, who they say Jalen Carter really looks up to, right? And then I think, was it N'Kobe Dean who they drafted, the linebacker? I think it was. So a couple Georgia guys who could be around him. It makes all the sense in the world for him to end up there at 10 to Philly. But who's to say that even if it is Philly and they want him and they have the perfect setup for him, who's to say that they're not going to be scared that somebody – he's the best player in the draft. Who's to say that somebody won't – like that Seattle won't take him or somebody won't try and trade up in front of – like who's to say somebody won't trade to 3 with Arizona to take Jalen Carter? Why does it have to be somebody trading up to 3 to take a quarterback? To me, I just don't get it. So for me, I think that, if you're telling me I can get value on Jalen Carter going pick 6 or before, I'm absolutely doing it. It's like it makes no sense to think that he's -5,000 to go top 10, but it's only going to be a pick 7, 8, 9, or 10.
So where do you think Stroud goes then? Well, I mean, if you're taking him out of Houston, you're taking him out of Arizona potentially.
I'm not necessarily taking him out of Houston. What if it goes Young, Stroud, Arizona trades out, team to be determined, takes Jalen Carter?
Yeah, I don't know if I like Stroud to Houston.
I'm not sure I like Stroud in Houston either. I mean, but it doesn't mean it's not going to happen. There's a lot of shit in the draft I don't like. I mean, Rashad Bateman went to the Ravens.
Did Stroud even visit the Texans?
Okay, so you're talking about the whole David Mulgeta thing with Deshaun Watson and his our good friend, the Texas Longhorn, David Mulgeta with Athletes First. Yeah. So does Mulgeta have C.J. Stroud? Cody, you're in the chat. Does Mulgeta have C.J. Stroud? David Mulgeta, C.J. Stroud. I bet you he does, actually. He sounds like a guy that Mulgeta might have. Yep, Mulgeta has C.J. Stroud. Take C.J. Stroud off the board for the Texans. Well, in that case, Stroud would go 4. Or somebody else trades up with you. What if Houston trades out? Oh, wait, Mulgeta's got Jackson Smith and Jigba too. So that's something to keep in mind at 12.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
Also, there was the stuff that Kendre Miller was telling us about how into Quentin Johnston the Texans were whenever they were visiting with him. He felt like that visit with him was just to get intel on Quentin Johnston. And we did see Nick Caserio standing close by with Quentin Johnston the whole time at TCU. So that's something to keep in mind there with that.
So does that make Quentin Johnston the first receiver off the board?
That would make him the first wide receiver off the board. JSN is not going to go before, you know, the over under for him is 12.5. So
I think maybe
with the stuff that Cody just brought up about how JSN is a Mulgeta guy, maybe that means the over is probably better on JSN at 12.5. Mulgeta's persona not non grata
around the Texas. And maybe Quentin Johnston at, you know, plus 1,000 to be the first wide receiver selected.
Is that one of yours?
Yeah.
I like that. I like that. I mean, it's a good long shot pick, right?
Yeah.
It's a good long shot pick.
Well, and with this news that I'm getting now.
Well, it's JSN. Not news. It's just analysis, right?
I didn't know that JSN was with Mulgeta.
As far as the pick number, the number two pick overall, if we're talking these long shots, Jalen Carter's plus 1,500 to the at pick number two.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, dude. I mean, if I have this conviction about Jalen Carter earlier than people think, it's like, you know, what the hell?
Yeah.
Okay. And then the only other one that I had was draft matchups. Who will be drafted earlier? There's this one with Michael Mayer from Notre Dame and Dalton and was it? I think it was Dalton Kincaid. I have to find it again. Was it Dalton Kincaid? Was the favorite? No. Okay. So Kincaid's the underdog. All right. So it's Michael Mayer minus 170 versus Dalton Kincaid at plus 140. Dalton Kincaid, the tight end from out of Utah. And just what I thought when I saw that is, like, I understand that people love Dalton Kincaid and, like, Daniel Jeremiah has him ranked so high and Lance Zierlein and all these other guys, and I get it. But Dalton Kincaid hasn't even worked out yet. And we know from our friends who are scouts and stuff that, you know, if a guy hasn't even worked out, that's something where they say, you know, especially in a draft that's so full of good tight end prospects, if you're in a big need for a tight end, wouldn't you just say, like, man, let's just see if he maybe falls, or if he doesn't fall, let's just see if we can get, like, Laporta or one of these other guys maybe a little bit later. To me, like, that makes sense to me. I think if you like Michael Mayer, that you're going to go out and get Michael Mayer. You think you got yourself, like, a young Gronk.
Yeah.
And you're just going to go get him. So I like that one. That's my other draft prop pick. Do you have any you like besides Quentin Johnston at plus 1,000?
Well, now then I like – JSN is the second receiver selected at plus 350.
Again, these are situations that we're not sure that this is going to happen. We're just talking over less than likely scenarios where you can get paid off a whole lot on them.
Yeah,
right?
I also like the second running back selected with Charbonnet with plus 400.
What is Gibbs like? Minus
400.
Okay, it's because it's going to be Gibbs. Do you think Gibbs will go in the first round? What's that? Is that at 1.5 for the position totals? Oh gosh, over 1.5 in the first round is plus 300 for the running backs. So people don't think Jahmyr Gibbs is going to go first round. I think Gibbs could go first round. What if Gibbs goes to the
about Bijan potentially not going until Cowboys, who would they pick 20?
Yeah, I just feel like the 26. I feel like the Bengals are such a sneaky running back landing spot there at the very back end of that thing. I think at plus 300, it might be worth taking the over. I think it'll be under, but I think at plus 300, it might be worth taking the over. All right, quickly before we get into Sean Tucker, just your thoughts about the as far as the Allen Robinson to Pittsburgh. They paid him all the money in the world. Somebody tweeted out on Twitter last night all the quarterbacks that Allen Robinson's had. They've all been terrible. Byron retweeted it and said that Allen Robinson ruined every one of them. So clearly, Roster Watch has never been huge Allen Robinson fans. I feel
used to, when he was in Chicago,
Or when he was in Jacksonville is when you liked him. You liked him in Chicago? He was shitty in Chicago. I think he looked good at that camp you went to, and then that it was smithereens from there.
He did look good at that camp.
Yeah, man. Does it make any difference to you for Pickens? I moved Pickens down a little bit on the best ball cheat sheet. But for Dynasty, I'm not sure it matters that much. I think it says something about how the team might feel about him. Our friend John Proctor said this on Twitter. He said, like, look, say what you will about George Pickens. You can feel this way. You can feel this way. A lot of us feel this way. But it does say something about what the team thinks about him, that they go out and they pay this dude $10 million.
I think it says more about
it's got to say a little something about Pickens.
I think they want to support the quarterback there. I think Kenny Pickett is kind of who they're betting on there with that.
All right, fair enough. Are you betting on Sean Tucker? Let's talk about him, the running back out of Syracuse, Sean Tucker. He came out after his junior season, 5'9", 207 pounds, 30-inch arms, 9 1/2-inch hands, a 4.38 40 that's adjusted up from a self-reported 4.33 at his another pro day, where he worked out by himself, had his friends take his measurements. But what I will say about Sean Tucker is that certainly very, very productive player. 47% of his team's market share for rushes last year, 16% team receptions. That's like tied for the fourth best of anybody at the combine, at the running back position. 27% of team total scrimmage yards, 33% team total team touchdowns from scrimmage. And when I watch Sean Tucker, the first thing you notice when you see him is, you know, people, I don't understand how people worry about his speed. This is a guy that is a former track sprinter and high school track champion. I'm not sure he runs a 4.38, but I mean, if he runs anything close to that, it's pretty, you know, it's pretty fast for a dude.
Well, he looks fast.
Yeah, 5'9", 207. He's sort of built. He's sort of built with that bowling ball body. Is sort of more dense than you'd like, given his acceleration.
Like your Ray Rice.
Yeah, well, Ray Rice was my first comp for him. Ray Rice, kind of Felix Jones type of player. He is a guy that's good at forcing missed tackles. He can do it in a variety of ways. In the open field, he shows really good functional lateral agility, maybe a little bit better than he does behind the line of scrimmage. But he brings good pop through his pads, good pad level, doesn't fumble. What I'm concerned about is he was better in his sophomore season than his junior season. I'm concerned that he was, you know, he was pretty prominent, you know, like as far as his role in the passing game, but it seems to me like his hands aren't really that good. I think he had 5 drops last year. He's not a Jahmyr Gibbs. He's not a Zach Charbonnet. He's not one of these guys. Like, I don't think he's even one of these guys. He's like a Bijan, a Gibbs, a Charbonnet, an A-Chain. You know, he's one of these guys that's more just like he got used as a receiver, not so much he feels like he is a receiver, even like as much as guys further down the board, like Evan Hull and Chase Brown, yeah, who look like they actually have kind of receiving chops. I'm not sure that I see that despite the really good analytics and, you know, the numbers that show as far as his reception share for his team. I mean, clearly he's done it. He did rack up a lot of his, this was something I was texting Cody about. I thought it was wild. 31% of his, so he had 23 rushing touchdowns over his final 2 seasons at Syracuse, a combined 7 of them. So that was 31% came against 2 FCS opponents.
Wagner
and Albany.
Did, yeah, I mean, it Wagner seemed like game? Watching his highlights, it seemed like over half of them were against Wagner. I'm like,
yeah, well, yeah, man. So he definitely did a little bit of bum hunting as far as his big games, but checks some boxes that a lot of these guys in this draft class really can't, with the size and the speed, the production.
I mean, so, I
the,
mean,
the other thing. Seven? Let me just say the other thing though is that he. just the stuff about the weird pro day and not testing at the combine and him saying that he had a medical exclusion and all this stuff. It's enough to make me a little bit worried about him. What is it that you saw when you watched Sean Tucker?
Yeah, saw quick feet, saw good north and south runner. He's quick to the edge. I didn't see him really, punishing contact, or running through contact that much. So it seems, even though he's kind of one of these kind of bowling ball like players, I didn't really see him just like punishing his defenders. So that, maybe that's something I need to go back and see too. If he's able to, go down on, if he goes down on first contact or not, I got to look at his
yards after contact for attempt were elite in 2021 and fell a good bit in 2022. And I don't know why. I mean, he looks better to me in 2021.
Well, yeah, I've watched mainly his 2022 bid, so maybe that's why I didn't see that as much.
It fell almost in half.
Yeah. The medical stuff, I don't know what to make of that. It's
no one does. Well, I know. The fact that you don't know what to make of it is what makes it feel so swindly. Byron loves Sean Tucker. Byron has, spoiler alert, because he'll be on the show on Monday, but he has him as his number four running back in the class. To me, I can't get with that at all. I don't see him in that tier at all. Do you see him up there in that same tier as guys like Charbonnet and Kendre Miller and Roshan and stuff? Like, I guess you don't have Roshan ranked this high. I know you don't have him there with Charbonnet and Kendre, but no. What about versus a guy like Abanikanda? Same type. I mean, Abanikanda is a little bit bigger, but he's another guy that's the size.
I feel like Abanikanda is bigger, but is still pretty fast. I maybe put him there with like Tajay Spears. Maybe I can see him around there, but he's faster than Tajay Spears.
Do you like Sean Tucker better than Tajay Spears? You're in a draft room right now. You got to make this decision for your NFL team.
Well, I've seen Spears up close, and I've seen what he can do, up with my own two eyes. So I know, based off of his Senior Bowl performance, I can't.
What about Abanikanda?
I mean, I still like Abanikanda more.
So you like both Israel Abanikanda and Tajay Spears, both better than Sean Tucker. That gets us down to, all right, well, here's the toughest question. If you get to Sean Tucker's level, is that about where you start taking your chance on Devon Achane? Or would you rather have Tucker?
Based on upside, I'm Achane for me.